What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. This is going to be our Wake Forest game preview. It does appear at this point, time of recording this is around 11:45 Eastern time on Thursday. There has not been any change in plans or any rescheduling or anything like that. So it does appear this game will take place 3:30 on Saturday in Doak Campbell Stadium. You know, there was some weird comments earlier in the week by Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson. I guess he didn't think that there was food or electricity in the state of Florida because a hurricane. Like, you know, Florida's been going through this for their entire lifespan. So, like, let the people from Florida worry about Florida, and you just get your team to Tallahassee and be ready to play a game. Because, you know, this is an exciting one, a top 25 matchup back in Doak. It's going to be the first one in quite a while. Obviously, before we get started, I just want to say that my thoughts and prayers are with everybody in the state of Florida who is affected by Hurricane Ian right now. I hope everybody is safe. I hope everybody's doing well. There's been some pretty scary stuff, videos and whatnot, coming out of South Florida. So I really hope everybody's okay and safe. And I just want to say that before we get into this, because at the end of the day, some things are more important than football. Obviously, you know, it helps the healing process to have Florida State be able to watch them and everything and just remove some of the stress. But, you know, safety and people's homes and things like that obviously take precedence. So just again, prayers and well wishes to everybody who's been impacted. And there should, you know, the weather may have moved, but there could be potentially some impact on this game as far as the crowd goes. And really, that's something that you want to have, that home field advantage in every game, especially when you're going against an offense like Wake Forest. So I really hope that Florida State is able to get a nice crowd to hopefully make some kind of influence, because one thing we heard against BC was how they couldn't really hear on the field. The players were telling their coaching staff that they couldn't hear. So, and Wake Forest, their stadium holds around 31,000. So they're not really used to playing in front of big crowds, because when you look at the ACC as a whole, I mean, really outside of Clemson, outside of Florida State, and outside of really Virginia Tech, which I don't know how often they play them because they're in the Coastal, there's not a whole lot of really big, loud, home field advantage type stadiums in the ACC. And so it's not like Florida or Wake Forest is used to dealing with that. So hopefully you can get a nice crowd out for this game to have some kind of influence, because when you're trying to upset a top 25 team, well, it's not actually an upset, because Florida State is favored. But, you know, given the current last few years of the programs, when you're trying to beat a team that's been better than you, that's had your number the last few years and is ranked higher than you, you need some things to go your way and every advantage you can get. And this is one of them. So with that being said, we'll get into this. I do apologize for this coming so late. I did a guest appearance last night on True Knowles Talk. I enjoyed talking with Jeff on there, who runs that page. You guys make sure to go check that out. We just broke down the Wake Forest game, talked about FSU football for about an hour or so. It was the first time I'd ever done a live stream, and it's available on YouTube and Facebook. I shared it on mine as well as his page and Twitter. It was a really fun conversation. So, like I said, I encourage you guys to go check that out. True Knowles Talk. Again, shout out to them for having me on. I really enjoyed that. So we'll go ahead and get into the Wake Forest preview. I'm going to try and keep this digestible for you guys. I know I had said last week how, you know, most of the responses I got from a survey I did wanted these podcasts to be an hour or less, and then I went over an hour anyway. So we'll just try and get right through it here. So Wake Forest comes to Tallahassee Saturday, 3:30 in Doak Campbell, and there will be obviously some weather. You know, we'll see how the wind is on Saturday and if there's any rain and how that affects the game, because when you have an offense like Wake Forest, that does affect some things, because the way they throw the ball, it could be an advantage for Florida State. So we will keep that in the back of our mind while we do the preview. But Florida State did open up as a 6-point favorite, and I believe they may be up to 7 now. I don't put a lot of stock into the ESPN FPI win projection thing that they, you know, the model they use, but it does give Florida State a 73.4% chance to win, which I do feel may be a little generous, just given Wake Forest's powerful offense. They did just take Clemson to double overtime. You know, we probably all agree that Clemson's overrated. I don't think they're the fifth best team in the country, but until they're beat and, you know, as long as they keep winning, then they can be wherever, you know, wherever they want. But I think it was still a good showing for Wake Forest, even though they didn't win. And I know it was disappointing for them because they did, you know, they are a contender for the Atlantic now. I know it was disappointing for them not to win, but it was still a pretty good showing to take Clemson to double overtime for a team like Wake Forest. If you look at Pro Football Focus, they give Florida State a 66.4% chance of winning, which is kind of where I think my thoughts are. I give this one 60-40 because Florida State's at home, maybe 65-35 because I feel like Florida State's defense is better. But when you look at Wake Forest as a whole, they are a pretty impressive team for what they've been able to do with Wake Forest. And, you know, like I've said about Dave Clawson in the past, is that he's a good coach. And the only thing more surprising than Wake Forest's success is the fact that he's still there and no one has plucked him out of Winston-Salem yet. And so you're going to have, I mean, they're going to be ready to play. Like, I know there's been a lot of talk about them coming off of a double overtime loss to Clemson, which sets them up for a letdown. You know, honestly, in my opinion, you could also see where that probably pissed them off that they had a chance to pretty much win one of the biggest games and would have been one of the biggest wins for them in program history. And they just kind of fell that little bit short. So I could see where that might, you know, just really fuel the fire maybe, but they could also be like, it could be an emotional letdown. So I understand both sides of that too. And I am glad the game didn't get rescheduled because I like Florida State carrying the momentum in there from the big win against Boston College. And I do like, you know, win, lose, or draw with Wake Forest. When you go to a double overtime game against a team like Clemson, who does have, you know, some athletes there and some big physical guys, you're going to be physically tired. You're going to be beat up a little bit. So I do like the game taking place this week, but it is a well-coached team. They do play pretty clean football. They only average about 5.75 penalties a game, and they are plus 1.25 in the turnover margin. So we know that they are a offensive-heavy team. That is their strength. The defense is not so much. And realistically, when you look at a game like this, and you know they have a high-powered offense, the one thing Florida State can control that they need to do efficiently is protect the ball, because you can't give a high-powered offense any extra chances. You don't want to give them any extra at-bats. You know, if they can score on a majority of their drives, you need to limit their possessions. You need to keep Sam Hartman on the sideline. So Florida State needs to play a clean game as far as ball security goes. You're probably going to see a fair share of penalties in this game, which is something that we saw against Clemson because of the style of offense Wake Forest plays, which leads us into the Wake Forest offense. We'll go ahead and get into an offensive preview now, and I'll detail that a little more in just a second. So on offense, they're averaging plays per game. They're averaging 72 plays a game, which is 39th in the country. So you're going to have a little more fast-paced offense than what you saw against Boston College. They have a run-pass split of around 55.8% pass, 44.2% run, which seems kind of strange for a very pass-heavy team. But they do run the ball. They just don't do it effectively. And I think they're known really for being a pass-heavy team because of how they throw the ball. They don't dink and dunk you. They don't nickel and dime you. They take shots, and they're good at it. So I think that's just kind of why you have in the back of your mind that they are a very pass-heavy team. But they actually run a pretty balanced offense. As far as total offense, they're 52nd in the country, averaging 437.5 yards a game. Obviously, that ranking has been drugged down a little bit by their rushing offense, which has not been very successful this year. And the thing is, too, like Sam Hartman, he was a 400 or 500, maybe even 600-yard runner last year, if I remember correct. And he hasn't ran the ball a whole lot yet. Now, he can run on you, so like he's a pretty athletic guy. He's not someone like Dracovic where you don't really have to worry about that. I mean, he's obviously not on the level of Cunningham or anything, or Jaden Daniels, but he can hurt you with his legs. He just hasn't done it a whole lot this year. Their success rate on offense is 41.2%, which is 70th in the country. Their passing offense is averaging 314 yards a game, which is 16th best in the country. So, again, they have a legit passing attack, and this is probably, you know, the way we've seen some things shake out now with Miami and Florida and just things like that the quarterbacks have not really performed like you thought they were going to. This is the best quarterback you're going to face this season, in my opinion anyway. And so you're going to have a challenge in your secondary because they are a legit pass attack, and their passing success rate is 48.7%, which is 34th in the country. Their rushing offense, again, is definitely their weak point on offense. They're averaging 123.5 yards a game, which is 104th in the country. and their success rate is 32.6%, which is 117th in the country. And that's the thing is, this is kind of almost like Boston College all over again. Boston College is far worse than Wake Forest. I'm not comparing them like that, but you have a run game that you feel good you can stop without devoting a lot of attention to it. And then you have a pass game that you really just have to focus on taking away, pressuring the quarterback and taking away some of those top targets. So, you know, that's just something to consider. It's kind of almost like we saw last week. It was a very pass-dominated offense. On third down, they are 61st in the country. You know, so they only convert about 40.4% of their third downs, which, again, this offense to me is it's very boom or bust. It's a little fluky, but they just run their version of a fluky offense very well. They are able to hit you over top with a lot of deep passes, you know, but like we said, they're not necessarily going to dink and dunk you down the field. So if you can limit those explosive plays, you can get them off the field. And in the red zone, they are a little dangerous in the red zone. They have a 95.2% scoring rate, which is 18th in the country. So if, you know, they're going to get down there, which a lot of times I do think they benefit because I wasn't able to go watch all their games, but I was able to watch the Clemson game. And a lot of times their deep passes, you know, they just get stopped at the 1 or 2 or 3 yard line, and then they're able to run it in or kick a field goal right after that. So they are good at scoring in the red zone. You're going to have some good red zone defense here. You know, as much as you can limit to three, because they're probably going to get a fair amount of trips down there. So as much as you can limit them to three instead of six, you'll be doing yourself a lot of favors when everything's tallied at the end of the game. So some notes I have on their offense here. They do have a veteran offensive line. Not going to say it's the best unit in the conference, and there are a few weaknesses on there we'll get into in a second. But they do return all five starters from last year. So the guys have experience, and when I looked at snap counts, the starting five have pretty much played 90 to 95% of the snaps this entire season. So it's not like Boston College where they started with these guys and now they got two or three guys different in the game than you expected. This has been their solid unit for the whole season so far. They do play a pretty fast pace. So Florida State, you know, you might have to get into your depth a little bit here. It's going to be, you know, you're going to want to keep guys fresh in this game because, you know, again, not only do they run a little faster pace, but they're going to challenge you with the way they play offense. I will say the Wake offensive line, they held their own some of the time against Clemson. And Clemson, their strength on the entire team is a dominant defensive line. So it was actually encouraging to see looking at Clemson going ahead, but they were able to pressure Hartman. And I think that's where they found some of their success. So speaking of Hartman, we'll get into a passer profile for him. Obviously, when the news broke early the season that Hartman was out indefinitely, I actually had this game in the preseason, if you read the preseason digital magazine or any of the other things we put out, where I felt like this was possibly going to be Florida State's first loss of the season because I didn't think it was a shootout you could win. Now, like I said before, it's never about being right or wrong for me. But, I mean, I did predict Florida State to start like 4-1 and 5-0, but this was the one where I thought you might have an offense that you just can't overcome. But that was before Florida State's offense was averaging 500 yards a game and 37.5 points a game through four games a season, which is very impressive, which I thought their offense would be better this year. I didn't think it would be this good. So now I've actually kind of changed my view on things. And to be fair, Wake Forest hasn't exactly looked as good as we thought. I mean, their offense, again, once Sam Hartman came back, he's been dynamic ever since. So, you know, they didn't really miss a step there. But now I feel better about Florida State being able to win a shootout against this team. And so, you know, that'll come up later in the prediction. But that's the thing is Hartman only missed one game. I thought for sure when they said indefinitely, I thought it would be maybe 4, 5, 6 games. I thought you played him early enough in the season that he might have missed this one. And I chalked that up as a win. But obviously, he was only gone for one game. So, you know, lucky everybody else who has to play them that this guy's back. And since he's been back, it's like he never left. To be fair, I'm glad he's back because you don't ever want to win a game where you have a guy who's missing or it's a depleted team or something like that. I mean, you want to see a kid. I mean, he's almost a grown man because he's been there so long, but you don't want to see any health related issues for anybody. Now, look, I'm not above taking a freebie. I'll tell you straight up, like if they had forfeited this game, some people were like, line it up, reschedule it. Look, if they want to forfeit, give me the dub all day. So I'm just going to say that. But Since Hartman has been back, he's thrown for 300 yards or more in every game. He's had three touchdowns in every game since returning, or at least three passing touchdowns in every game since returning. Now, granted, outside of Clemson, which we're going to talk about Clemson's secondary in 1 second. I think they got exposed in this game. But they haven't really played a lot of dominant defenses. They play Liberty and Vanderbilt when Hartman has been back, as well as Clemson. So, you know, you may have a little fool's gold there. They haven't really played a whole lot of tough defenses. But as far as Hartman goes, he's 64 of 103 on the season, 62.1% completion percentage, 962 yards, an impressive 13 touchdowns, two interceptions. His big-time throw rate is 8.3%, which is that's pretty good. His turnover-worthy play rate is 1.6%, which is also good. He's been pressured 33 times this season, sacked 9 times, and he has 8 rushes for 72 yards, no touchdowns, and a PFF grade of 76.1. So, again, he's just a good player. Like, he's probably the best quarterback you're going to face this season, and he's someone that he's hard to stop, and you're going to have to figure out how to do it. They run that weird slow mesh offense, which is, again, like I said, to me, that's just kind of a fluky, I don't see how they don't get holding on every play. I don't see how they don't have an eligible man downfield on most of their passing plays the way they run it. And they run it good. I mean, granted, give it to them. It's kind of like the triple option. Like, it doesn't have to make sense to everybody. As long as you run it well, you can have success with it. But, you know, it puts you in a tough position on defense. You have to play discipline. You have to, you know, you have to play your assignment, play your role, and everybody work together as a team so you don't try, you know, play hero ball and try and do some things, and then you get beat with that slow mesh offense. But I think you can have some success against, you know, they don't have enough of a run threat for you to really have to devote a ton to that, I don't think, anyway. But you're going to need your secondary to step up big, and you're still going to need your defensive line to play good because you need to get to Hartman. And we'll get into a couple more advanced stats here about Hartman to make my kind of back up what I'm saying here. So when Hartman is kept clean in the pocket, that's no pressure applied, it's been 72.7% of the time, which is pretty high. That's a pretty good percentage. So again, their offensive line is pretty solid. He's 55 of 84 for a 65.5% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, two interceptions, and a PFF grade of 80. When he has been pressured, which is 27.3% of dropbacks, he's 9 of 19 with a 47.7% or 47.4% completion percentage, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a PFF grade of 61.9. So that tells us if you can get to him and you can make him uncomfortable, which is something I think Adam Fuller will choose to do because he does like to play an aggressive style defense. That's something we saw in a few games so far. And I think if you can get to him, now he's a veteran player, so I'm not going to say that you're going to be able to rattle him with a couple of sacks. But, you know, you might can make him start seeing ghosts or breaking out of the pocket a little faster than he wants to by getting some pressures on him, especially if you get Jared Verse back. Like, that's one thing, too. That could be a huge factor. Like, that might even be the X factor for this game. I don't think we'll see Fabian Lovett back because some people were saying they saw him on the sideline in a boot and crutches against BC. Hopefully you can get him back soon because you're going to need him down the stretch. But if you get Jared Verse back, that could be huge in this game. I mean, you like what you've seen from the depth, but to have a guy like that come back, it would be big for putting pressure on Hartman, because you can see, again, if you can get pressure on him, he can make some errant throws. Now, the trick is getting to him without devoting a lot of, without sending the house, because the next stat I'm going to show you is blitz versus non-blitz. So when he's blitzed, which has been about 45.5% of the time, he's 33 of 48 with a 68.8% completion percentage, 488 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, with a PFF grade of 90.7, which is insane. And he's been sacked 4 times when he's been blitzed. Now, when he's not been blitzed, it's 54.5% of the time. He is 31 of 55 with a completion percentage of 56.4%, 474 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a PFF grade of 58.1, and he's been sacked 5 times. So he's been sacked more when he's not blitzed. He has a lower PFF grade when he's not blitzed. He has a lower completion percentage when he's not blitzed. So he's better against the blitz because obviously you're giving his talented receivers time to work in space. So the trick against Wake Forest is getting people home without sending the whole house, you know, and that's something I think Fuller is going to work on. I think I really like our linebackers. So, you know, if you do have to send a guy like Kalen DeLoach or Tatum Bethune on occasion, you know, there's a good chance they can get to him. So I do think that they will scheme something up around that. I think they know what they're doing, and they like to play aggressive defense. So, you know, Fuller does like to put some of his guys in. He trusts them, and he likes to put them in situations where they have to make plays, and they will run one-on-one coverage sometimes and trust their guys to make plays. And that's something we're going to have to see in this game from the secondary, because, you know, they're going to have to get to Hartman, and the longer he has to throw, the harder it's going to be for them. And they haven't really been tested like they're going to be tested in this game. And so as far as downfield passing goes, we'll get into that real quick, because I do think it is some pretty interesting numbers. Their short passing, which is 0 to 9 yards, accounts for 37.9% of their offense, which is pretty average. Hartman has a 71.8% completion percentage on his short throws, 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a PFF grade of 67.3. So his mid-range passing, which is 10 to 19 yards, accounts for 22.3% of their offense. Normally you see those mid-range passes the most heavy aspect of an offense. So there, on his mid-range passes, he is 56.5% completion percentage, 154 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and PFF grade of 89.5. Now, the one that I find interesting is their deep passing. And again, this gets back to the kind of offense that they like to run. They throw the ball 20-plus yards, 25.2% of the time, which is a lot. I mean, that's really heavy amount of deep passes. On his deep passes, his completion percentage is 46.2%. Now, that doesn't sound very good, but I want to say Phil Dracovic was like 18.5% completion downfield, or like 20, in the 20s, and Jaden Daniels was like 18 or 12% completion downfield. So realistically, when you're airing it out, 46.2% completion percentage is really good. They have 441 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 picks on their deep passes. His PFF grade is 78.0. And one of the most interesting stats I saw is on his deep throws, his big-time throw rate is 27.6%, which is, that's a lot. That's really high. So, again, the way they like to do it is they will throw the ball up to their receivers. And you basically have usually, you know, one of three outcomes. Either they trust their guys to go get it. And a lot of times they do. And they have multiple receivers who are good at it. So it's not like you just have one guy that you have to look out for. But you're either going to have Wake Forest is going to come down with it, or the defense is usually going to get a penalty by stopping it, or the defense is able to stop it or pick it off. But they draw a lot of flags. And that was something that we saw against Clemson, which, like we talked about, and we'll go ahead and touch on that. Clemson's secondary got exposed. They look bad. Their corners, they had no answer for Wake Forest wide receivers. I think our secondary, while I can't say that they're great because we haven't really seen it this year, I think it's a better secondary than Clemson has, without a doubt. And so what you saw when they played Clemson was if the Clemson DBs weren't getting beat, which was a majority of the time, they had a handful of jersey or were just tackling guys to avoid giving up a touchdown, which, I mean, honestly, it makes sense. If you're beat, what would you rather give up, a 40-yard bomb or a 15-yard PI? But they got beat a lot, and they drew a lot of flags. I saw a stat where Wake Forest had 129 total yards in the first half against Clemson. 85 of those yards came off pass interference. So it's one of those offenses where they can make you pay in more than one way. They don't have to complete the pass to keep the ball moving. And they put your DBs in a tough spot to be able to break up a pass without getting a flag. But on the flip side of that, you also have some opportunity where if they're just going to throw the ball up and you have a DB who can win some one-on-ones, you can also get some turnovers against them too. So that's something else to be on the lookout for. I mean, it's just a very boom or bust offense with a lot of deep throws. So your DBs are going to, I mean, they better pack a lunch because they're going to get attacked by multiple receivers for a majority of the day. So they better come to play. But I do like our guys, you know. I mean, Renardo Green has just really had a good year this year, and I've been highly impressed with what he's done. I think that getting Omarion Cooper back last game and him getting an interception, you know, helps get him in rhythm. Hopefully he's 100% go for this game because you're going to need him. And then you like what you've seen also from Greedy Vance coming on as a player. And the thing with Cooper being out for the first couple games, you've had a chance to get some other guys' looks and build a little depth. And one other thing that I thought about last night is I'm just so high on Jamie Robinson as a player, especially from what we saw last year. I think he really is a game changer on the back end of your defense. I know they haven't been thrown on it a lot, but he's been kind of quiet this year. So to me, he's due for a big game. Like, he's due to have an interception, maybe a forced fumble, because, you know, he does like to wrap up and wrap and rip, as you might want to call it. Like, he likes to wrap up a player and rip the ball out. So I could see Jamie Robinson getting a turnover or two in this game. I just feel like he's due for a big game, which you're going to need. You're going to need somebody to step up and give your offense an extra possession or two, especially, you know, like I said, if they're going to throw it up, if you can, you know, if Fuller gives them a little safety help over the top and you can kind of ball hawk, you know, you're going to give yourself some extra at-bats, which is all, it's always a good thing. Again, their run game isn't very good. They run it pretty much just to open up the pass, to make you respect it. But that delayed mesh is hard to defend. The good thing is, like I said, I don't think you have to devote a lot to stopping the run. And to be perfectly honest with you, if you force them to run the ball on you by taking Sam Hartman away, that's a gamble I like, because I would rather see their backs have an above-average day than Sam Hartman light you up over the top, because I think that's a game you can win, especially with your offense. And just looking at their wide receivers real quick, the three top targets that you're going to have to watch, you have A.T. Perry, number 9. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year as a freshman. I thought he was really going to be their breakout guy this year, and he has been good for sure. He has 16 receptions on 33 targets, only a 48.5% catch rate. He has 273 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 drops. His contested catch rate is only 28.6%, so he seems to be struggling a little bit. Now, he's a guy who can kind of burn you and get open, but from just the raw stats, it looks like if you can challenge him, if you can have an aggressive DB on him, you can ruin his day. So that's something that I look at there. Just a low catch percentage, a low contested catch percentage, and a couple of drops. So that may be someone you can take away there, but he's still a good receiver, and he still is the most targeted receiver on their offense. So next up is Jamal Banks, number 80, who absolutely killed Clemson. He has 15 receptions on 19 targets this season, a 78.9% catch rate, which is pretty good. 238 yards, 5 touchdowns, no drops, 6 out of 7 contested catches he's caught, which is 85.7%. So he's a guy who's going to challenge you for the ball. He's one that they'll throw it up to one-on-ones because he can win those battles. He has a PFF grade of 78.4, which is well above quality starter status. And then they do have a third target that you have to watch out for, too, in Donovan Green, number 11. 14 receptions on 21 targets, 66.7% catch rate, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 drop. His contested catch rate is only 33.3%, so you may have an opportunity there. But his PFF grade is also 76.7. So they really do have three dynamic guys that you have to look out for, and they have a big tight end who's been a little hard to defend in the past. So you have 6 receivers on that offense with over 100 yards. 5 of those have multiple touchdowns, and 4 have a 70-plus PFF grade. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, guys. There's no way around it. I'm not going to predict that Florida State is going to come in and just dominate this offense by any means. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Wake Forest is going to get theirs. You know, I would be willing to bet that they're going to put up 400 yards. I'd be willing to bet that they're probably going to get into the 30s, at least, you know, hopefully not the 40s, but at least they're probably going to get into the mid-30s in points, because this just is a good offense, and we don't know a whole lot of what we're going to get from our secondary. Now, again, I like the players in our secondary. I think our secondary is better than Clemson's. So you look at some of the other teams they've played, you know, like we talk about, they played a game against Vanderbilt. I'm not even going to mention the Virginia Military game. We're just going to throw that out, but when you look at the Vanderbilt game, Vanderbilt's offense is 90th in the country, and their defense is 120th. Now, that may have something to do with them getting torched by Wake Forest, but, you know, I mean, who's Wake gone against? You've gone against the Vanderbilt defense, which is 120th in the country, the Liberty defense, which is 55th in the country. So it's not a top 50 defense. So, and then Clemson, of course, they have their defense is actually 48th in the country, and we know they have a good defensive line, and they were able to get to him a few times, but their secondary is by far their biggest weakness, and so you don't like the matchups against Clemson for them, but you do, you know, I just feel good about the way this defense will perform. Again, I don't think, like, they haven't been elite this year, and you hope you can get, you know, you hope you get Verse back at least, because that'll really help, but it's they play complementary football, and I think they can be good enough for you to win this game. When you look at their running backs, you have Justice Ellison, who's number six. He's only averaging 3.6 yards a carry, one touchdown on the ground, and a PFF grade of 67.9. So the other guy that they use is Christian Turner, number zero. He has 41 carries for an average of 4.3 yards a carry and two touchdowns there. So, and his PFF grade is 62.8. And the thing is, like, Florida State has three running backs in Benson, Ward, and Toafili, who are all averaging over 5 yards per carry right now. And I know Trey Benson's over 7 yards a carry. And so you just got two backs here who don't really scare you, and especially with your linebacker play. So I think you can really devote a majority of your resources to stopping this pass game, if you can, or at least containing it. When you look up front on the offensive line, again, it's an experienced unit, but there are some opportunities here. At your left tackle, he has a PFF grade of only 54.9, which is well, you know, that's pretty far below average. His pass blocking grade is only 50.2, so he's given up 6 pressures and a sack so far this season. So, like, if you can get Jared Verse back and you can line him up over that left tackle, Jared Verse could eat all day, and that could really be a determining factor in this game. You have their left guard. He has a PFF grade of 63.8. He's allowed 6 pressures and 2 sacks. So, you know, you give me some guys on that left side, and I think that's somewhere that they should attack because you can find success. And when you look at what Clemson was able to do against them, they got some pressure on them. They had 17 pressures, 4 sacks, and 6 tackles for loss. So, again, it's not like this offensive line is impenetrable. Their center, he has a PFF grade of 63. He's allowed 2 pressures so far. And their right guard, he has a PFF grade of 58.5, which is below average. He's allowed 5 pressures and no sacks. And their right tackle has a PFF grade of 72.1 with 4 pressures and 1 sack allowed. So he is their highest graded pass blocker. So again, but again, I mean, these guys, like, they're experienced, they're veterans, and they're a solid unit, but they're not like a dominant offensive line. So I definitely think if you have Robert Cooper in there, if you have Dennis Briggs, he moved inside a little bit last game we saw. McClendon's had a couple of – he had a big game against Louisville. If you can get Verse back, Patrick Payton's looked good so far. If you can just let – these guys can have a big game, it can really influence the outcome because this offensive line is not – they're just – they're not unbeatable by your defensive line. And so I think that's the key, is allowing or is having your defensive line win their battles to be able to pressure Hartman so you don't have to deter or send, you don't have to devote a lot of resources to getting home to Hartman because you can't let him sit back there and pick you apart. So again, this game, like, I know it all looks like it's on the secondary, and it really is, but your defensive line is going to be a huge part of this game. If they can win their battles and get pressure on Hartman and allow you to use your resources other places, then I think that's going to lead to success. You know, again, they're probably going to get theirs. I don't doubt that. It's just who can limit who the most on offense. So moving over to the defensive side of the ball, it's a little bit of a tale of two stories here. Total defense for them, they are 72nd in the country, tied for 72nd. And oddly enough, one of those teams that they're tied with is Boston College. So you're basically facing almost the same quality of defense, and we know Boston College wasn't good. They're way worse on offense than they are on defense. Their defense is not good either. Obviously, they're 72nd in the country, but you're going to face a similar, you know, level of defense, quality of defense this week too, because Boston College had some decent players, and they were all veterans. So, you know, you would like to think that you're going to have a similar challenge this week against their defense. They're allowing 378.5 yards a game, obviously the same as Boston College, and Florida State went out and put up 530 yards on them. So again, when you look at Clemson, they have a worse offense than you, and they went out and put up 550 yards of offense on Wake Forest's defense. So to me, when you just look at those numbers, there's no reason why I don't think Florida State can put up 500 plus yards on them. They are averaging 500 plus yards per game right now. So I do think, like I said, it just makes you feel better if you get into a shootout type of scenario. Their success rate on defense is 56 in the country at 38.3%. Their passing defense is currently 79th in the country, allowing 237.2 yards with a success rate of 39.2%, which is 53rd in the country. Looking at the rush defense, they allow 141.2 yards per game, which is 68th in the country. And their success rate is 37.3%, which is 54th in the country. So they have a pretty balanced defense. It's not like they're way worse at one. Like Clemson, for instance, they have a top 10 rushing defense. Their passing defense is bottom one, is like 104th. So you see there's a lopsided affair there that you can take advantage of. You can pick on. Wake Forest is not so much the case, but the good news is they're kind of equally bad at both. So you do still have opportunities there. Another opportunity area I saw when doing my game preview, the red zone defense for Wake Forest is 131st in the country. That is dead last in red zone defense. They have allowed 100% of trips to end in a score. So if Florida State can get down there, now obviously, you know, we have to know that you can't guarantee a field goal is going to happen with our kicker. We understand that. Hopefully he can get back in rhythm and he can make some field goals. And we know that Florida State may not have 100% red zone against Wake Forest because they're probably going to go for some fourth downs where they could kick a field goal because they don't trust the kicker. And honestly, in this game, I'm okay with that. The reason being is because when you look at the Clemson game, Clemson outgained Wake Forest by 180 yards in the first half, but they were only up by 6 points. So what that tells me, when you look at that, is Clemson had to kick a lot of field goals, and you don't, against a team like Wake Forest that can score, you know, in an instant, you don't want to have to rely on 3 points. You want to get touchdowns as often as possible. So, you know, you do have some opportunities to score in the red zone for them. Obviously, they've been terrible at red zone defense. And so, yeah, I mean, I would love to see Fitzgerald get some kicks, but hopefully most of our drives can end in 6 points. And so, again, with this defense, to me, this game's more about the Florida State offense than the Wake defense, because we know that they're not a quality defense. We know that you put up over 500 yards in a defense similar to theirs last week. And you just look at Florida State's offense, and you have a multi-dimensional offense, which is so nice to see. Last year, it was very primarily running. So you could almost, you know, you saw so many teams just load the box and disrespect Florida State in the pass game because they didn't have to. And now, if you load the box against Florida State to stop the run against their three-headed monster in the backfield and a quarterback in Jordan Travis, who is a very dynamic runner, but has not even really used his legs yet this year. He only has 48 yards of rushing on the season. So, I mean, he could break out at any point, and you still have to respect that. So, and that's, I think, what we saw early on. I think LSU tried to do that. But if you load the box against Florida State to stop the run, I mean, you got to pick your poison, because Jordan can pick you apart through the air, especially with, you got a receiver like Johnny Wilson, who, if you go one-on-one, you're most certainly going to have a long night. If you devote extra coverage to him, well, Pokey Wilson's had a great season so far. If Darian Williamson is back from injury, he just had a 100-yard game. Portiers has just been mossing people. And you've also seen what you've seen from Malik McClain. So you have multiple threats. And you also add Micah Pittman in there. And you also have Deuce Spann, who hasn't done a whole lot for you, but you know he's a dynamic talent. That's the thing. Florida State can attack you in multiple ways. So that's why I feel good about this offense having success. If they can limit Florida State on one aspect of their offense, they can just switch to another. And if, you know, I feel like they have a good opportunity to get the run game going here to keep Sam Hartman on the sideline. But, you know, this is going to be a pretty tough receiving core for them to cover. And a lot of times when in that Clemson game, you know, that's something that I'll talk about too, where DJ, the quarterback for Clemson, he has not thrown for over 250 yards yet this season. And it's not like they played a murderous schedule. You know, they've played Louisiana Tech, Furman, Georgia Tech, you know, no one really challenging. Even Wake Forest, it wasn't a good defense. But in that game, he put up 371 passing yards. He absolutely torched them. And they have some bigger receivers and some bigger tight ends, which Wake struggled with. And so a guy like Deuce Spann, a guy like Johnny Wilson, who are bigger receivers, a guy like Portier could give their secondary some problems. So that's one thing that I'm looking at too. I mean, Jordan should be able to have – he may very well have another 300-yard game. I know last week was just his first 300-yard game, but this could be another one because if DJ can carve them up for 371 yards, certainly Jordan Travis can go for 300. Wake's defensive line did not get a lot of pressure in that game. There were multiple times where DJ had all day, and it wasn't like he was scrambling or running like we know Jordan can because Jordan's pretty elite at avoiding pressure. And even just standing back there making his reads and throwing, they didn't get a whole lot of pressure on him. So that's something that I do look for an advantage for Florida State's offensive line to be able to do well in this game again. And they've been having some good games. I saw Robert Scott was practicing again in a video. I'm not sure if he'll be back, but Darius Washington has been he's been a good player for you since he stepped in. Wake is averaging about 2.5 sacks a game and only 2 per game against Power 5 teams. So, again, I think you can have a good night from your offensive line to give Jordan time and to be able to get the run game going. Now, I will say Wake was able to create some pressure on Clemson when they blitzed, and they do run some stunts, which gave Clemson's offensive line some problems. So as long as the offensive line can communicate and follow their assignments well and pick those up, I think you'll be okay. As far as the Wake linebackers, they do look pretty good. They're not like they don't stand out talent-wise, but they are productive for them. The Wake defense does seem to close quick. Like, I did notice a lot of times Clemson was able to make plays on them against soft zone, and then Wake would kind of swallow it up. Or, they would get the ball out in space, get a few yards, and then the Wake defense, they do pursue well. So there is that. Clemson was able to win a lot of one-on-ones too, like I said, with their bigger receivers. So, and Wake does play tight and aggressive. And they had their fair share of pass interferences too. So, I know their guys are going to be tough to cover, but so is Johnny Wilson. You cover a 6'7" guy without getting a pass interference, and you're doing something. So Florida State's got that advantage too. They are decent in coverage, but again, they're beatable in one-on-ones. And Clemson just Clemson had a lot of ridiculously lucky plays where they just threw it up and their bigger receiver just took it from the other guy. And it was almost like, I don't even know how that just worked, but it did. And just like I said, just to kind of close it out, looking through some of their games so far, Wake versus Clemson, their offense put up 447 yards, 6.7 yards a play against Clemson defense. It's pretty good. They had 337 passing yards and 128 rushing yards. Now, again, like we talked about with the rushing defense, against Clemson, who had a good defensive line, which if Florida State's not at full strength, then that Clemson defense line is better. If Florida State's at full strength, you could honestly have a fair conversation about that. Their defensive line is good, but their stopped runs in this game, which is stopped for 2 yards or less, was 47%. So almost half of their runs went for 2 yards or less. So again, I feel like Florida State can really bottle their run game up, if that's what they choose to do. And on defense, Wake defense allowed 559 yards, 6.5 points per play. And Clemson had 14 drives in that game. Wake Forest's stop rate on defense, which is basically where the offensive possession doesn't end in points, turnover on downs, punts, things like that, their stop rate was only 21%. So very few of Clemson's drives did they come off the field without getting points. So again, if Florida State can sustain some drives, can get down into the red zone where we know they're bad at red zone defense, you're going to have your at-bats. You just have to turn it into points, and that's a big thing. Wake's defense had 6 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and 11 pressures on the night. Wake Forest only had 10 rushing yards in the first half of that game. 10. So, Sam Hartman, I don't know how his arm just doesn't fall off. Like, he's got to be tired at the end of all these games, just throwing the ball so many times because he's got to carry them. And so, I look at that game. I look at the Vandy game where, like we said, they had the 90th ranked offense and the 120th ranked defense, and Vandy put up 25 points on them, and they gave up 45. So if Vandy can put up 25 points, if Liberty has the 77th ranked offense, then they put up 36 points on them, and they almost upset them. They missed a 2-point conversion to win that game. But if the 77th ranked offense can put up 36 points on them, and they had four turnovers in that game too. So they gave the ball away a lot. And I just don't see why Florida State can't get into the 40s again in this game. I don't see why you can't hold them a little better than Clemson did. And again, the reason I say that is because the Liberty defense is 55th, which is technically a little worse than Clemson. But, you know, I don't know how their pass defense versus rush defense is, but they held them to 37 points. So they held them under 40. So, you know, I mean, you're going to be up for a challenge, and it's going to be a shootout. And like I said, I think Wake's going to get theirs points-wise and yards-wise. It's just who can have the better day on defense. And to me, I trust Florida State's defense more than I trust Wake's defense. And I feel like as long as Florida State plays a clean game, doesn't give them too many more at-bats, converts, you know, doesn't leave points on the field. And again, I'm okay with going for it on fourth down sometimes because you need touchdowns in this game. You know, a bunch of field goals aren't going to win you. You're not going to win this game more than likely, you know, 24-20. It's not going to happen. This is probably going to be a 30s-40s game. But, you know, we'll have to monitor the weather too. Obviously, I know it's not supposed to be bad in Tallahassee by Saturday, but if you have some remaining winds, that could help. I mean, you know, if they're throwing the ball up and you got a windy day, some gusts going around, that could help Florida State too. It could keep the game a little, you know, more low scoring than you want, but or than you think it would be originally. So, like I said, I feel good about Florida State in this game. I think it's going to be a challenge. It's obviously a top 25 matchup. It would be a huge win for Florida State for multiple reasons, obviously. You just got ranked. You would hate to lose it the first week. And this, so if you win this one, obviously you'll probably be somewhere near the top 20. And you've already started 1-0 in your tough three-game stretch. You've moved to 5-0. You're now 3-0 in conference play. And your next three games are more than likely going to determine how the Atlantic shakes out. And so if you win this one, you stay in that driver's seat. You know, as long as you keep winning, you're in the driver's seat with all your goals in front of you. So this is a huge game for Florida State, and I hope they get a good turnout from the crowd, and I hope the team's focused and comes out to play. You know, I know some of them may have family in the area, but hopefully that's affected by the hurricane, but hopefully they've touched base with them before the game, so there's not any worry going on there. But, you know, if Florida State can bring their A game and they can play a clean game, I'll take Florida State in this one. And it's funny, I mentioned on the guest appearance I did last night, I said, now when I predict my scores for Florida State games, I never try and predict a score where you have more than one field goal, because I'm sorry, Fitz, like I just don't trust him yet. And hopefully being at home, you know, this game too, as well as last game, I know he missed an extra point, which really makes you nervous, and his field goal wasn't even pretty, the one he kicked in. I would just love to see him get back in rhythm and, you know, just be able to get his mental game back, because I don't think he's a bad kicker. I just think he's in having a rough patch, and everybody can have that. But I don't really like to predict something like, you know, 42 where you've kicked two field goals or something like that. So I do think they will go for it on fourth again like we saw in Boston College. But I'm going to take Florida State. Let's go 45. And I think Wake Forest will be about 38. So let's go Florida State 45-38. I think that would be a very solid win for you. Again, you're 5-0, 3-0 in conference play. You're still you're in the race for the Atlantic, and you finally kind of put Wake Forest back in their place, and they've had success, and they deserve all the success they've got. But, you know, there's been some pretty arrogant Wake fans on Twitter this week. They got that little bit of taste of success, and now all of a sudden they acted like Florida State was dodging them last year by a game that got canceled by COVID. And, you know, and their coach came out and said that they might not have as many fans as they had in the Vanderbilt game, so they're preparing for that too. You know, it's time for Florida State to come back and be like, we're Florida State, and, you know, we're going to win a game like this, and we're going to take control back of the conference that we dominated so long. And it all starts here. You know, they have a nice three-game stretch here where once this is over, there's no conversation about the schedule anymore. You've had three ranked games in a row. You've played an LSU team that looks, you know, is looking pretty hot right now. And it all starts here. It all starts with Wake. So if you can win this one, then you carry that momentum going forward next week into NC State and then bringing it back home against Clemson. But it all starts here. And I do think this is winnable for Florida State, but I do think it's going to be a challenge. So, Yeah, and we'll just go ahead and wrap it up there with another win projection for Florida State. Again, nothing's guaranteed, and this is to me going to be one of your more challenging games of the season, right here in front of you. So hopefully they rise up to the challenge, and hopefully they carry the momentum forward, and hopefully they move to 5-0, because I just really love watching this team, and I love the momentum that's been behind this program, and I love how the fan base seems to be re-energized about the success of this team. And you know, it's just, you don't ever want it to end, but you know, it is always a possibility. But again, I like Florida State in this game. And so with that being said, if you guys, again, if you're in Florida and you're affected by the hurricane, you know, my thoughts and my prayers go out to you. I hope you guys are all safe. If you're traveling to the game, please be careful, you know, out on the roads, and you guys just make extra noise for us. So we'll see you guys on the other side. And thanks again for listening. Join us on social media. Check out that guest appearance I did last night. I think you guys will really enjoy that with me and True Noles Talk. So, again, I appreciate everybody's support. Thanks for listening, and go Noles.